from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Maybe Mike Brown doesn't look so dumb today as Ja'Marr Chase is back at practice. I doesn't seem like there's a new contract there. Just to all the NFL players out there, it doesn't work if you don't get the contract. You just look like a big dumb baby. Now, Trent Williams is 36. Trent Williams, I'll be honest with you guys, I think he knew the number. I think they knew the number about 4 weeks ago. But I think Trent Williams said, I'm 36 and 330 pounds, and there's not a chance in hell I'm going to training camp. By the way, Trent Williams still got paid. So to Trent Williams, you, sir, you do, you know, pass go and collect your $200. Because you didn't have to go to training camp. You didn't have to play in the preseason. You didn't have to practice. And you got your $90 million. With Brandon Ayuk, all right, you still got paid. You just look a little dumb because you basically signed an offer 3 days ago. Okay, maybe it was like 5 days ago. That had been on the table since August 10th. With Ja'Marr Chase, are you just, I guess, the hold-in's done? I gotta say, if you're gonna hold out, and Ja'Marr Chase is worth every single cent. Ja'Marr Chase should have been paid 6 months ago. So if Jamar's not the holdup in this whole hold-in, and today he just showed up at practice because you got to get ready for week one, yeah, I guess you didn't go to practice, but you didn't secure the bag either. I don't know. Feels like that's I feel like nobody really wins in that scenario, which in case Cleveland wins because bleep Cincinnati, or as we know it, Northern Kentucky. Now, to matters on the Browns front here, have you heard about this? Have you seen about this? Have you heard about this? So Jed Wills, back at practice for the game, or sorry, ahead of the game against Dallas on Sunday. So he's back at practice today. Stefanski had said, you know, he kind of basically said he's back at practice and we'll see on Sunday. Jed made it seem a lot less certain that he's going to play on Sunday. Basically, I don't think he didn't sound like a man who believes he's actually going to suit up on Sunday, which, I'll be honest with you guys, when we got the news earlier today, the first thing you hear, Jed's back at practice for the first time. I initially did go to the route of, why did my confidence in beating Dallas just go down a peg? I know, that's a very mean thought. It's not intentionally mean. I don't go out of my way to be mean about Jed. I think he probably is in some... I think he's probably underrated in Cleveland because we talk about him like he's Desmond Harrison. And I don't know if you guys remember Desmond Harrison or Greg Robinson. They made Jed Wills look like Joe Thomas. So, like, I'm open to a world in which Jed Wills is actually a completely fine average tackle. The problem is there's a few places you can't be average at in the NFL and feel good about, and left tackle is one of them. Edge rusher is another. Elite wide receiver. Right, if you have an average wide receiver as your number one, you don't feel good about it. Corner, it depends on the edge rusher. I do think there's a little bit of a relationship there, but I digress. Like, it's quarterback, it's cornerback, it's left tackle, it's edge rusher, and wide receiver. I almost said cornerback twice. I'll be very honest with you. I almost said cornerback twice there, but those are the five places you can't be average in the NFL. You can be an average left guard and nobody notices. You can be an average middle linebacker. And maybe he's not Lavonte David. Maybe he's not Bobby Wagner or Joe Schobert in his prime. But, or Christian Kirksey in his prime. Any of their primes. DeQuell, definitely you're not DeQuell. But the point is, at left tackle, average just doesn't do it. that I was thinking about this because I really did. Like I said, like in my mind, okay, Jed is practicing. So the first place I went is, oh, does that mean he's playing on Sunday? And then the very next thought was, well, you know what? I mean, it's a tough game. Left tackle should not matter that much. But here's the real thing. It's not that Jed is average. It's that none of us trust him to play through the whistle. And fair or unfair, the questions about whether Jed Wills really loves football have persisted. Remember, guys, that's not an uncommon thing in football. When Myles Garrett was in contention to be the number one pick, everyone was like, does he like classic cars and Elton John too much? Like, he seems to like things from the 1970s. Is that weird? Does that mean he doesn't like football? 8 years later, Myles Garrett has answered every single question about how much Myles loves football. Jed hasn't. Going into year five, Jed has not had that moment where we can all look and say, one, that guy is better than average, and two, that guy, we trust that guy to go out there and play through the whistle.
He answered, by the way, the people that doubted whether he wants to play, mm-hmm. whether he has a desire and love for the game, mm-hmm. he answered that in the locker room today.
Let's go ahead and play that right now.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to have their own opinion. It's this thing that you hear, if it was easy, everybody would do it. I mean, I'm sure everybody's heard that before. It is what it is. I mean, if it was tough, if it was easy, everybody would do it, but it's tough. So that's really why I'm doing it. You feel me?
So, with that, I got to say, he practiced that one. I know you practice, like, I'm not going to say who, but there used to be a host that I work with. No, it was not here, but I'm not going to give any more detail because I'm not, on the off chance one person is listening that might know who I'm talking about, I'm not opening up that can of worms. This is an evolved, advanced Nick Wilson. There used to be a host that I work with that scripted out every part of his first segment. And when I say scripted out, I mean he wrote it. And the problem is he'd lose his place in his script. And so he'd go back two paragraphs or he'd fast forward two paragraphs just randomly. And it would be like you hit the 15 seconds or into the future or into the behind on like a podcast on Spotify. You're like, wait, he just said this. Did my radio just skip? That's what Jed Wills just did there. But I do think like there is a weird amount of hope. Listen, I'll be honest with you guys. I think both defenses are going to do really well on Sunday. One, I think it is par for the course that good defenses thrive early in the season because offenses, especially in today's day and age, just don't have enough time to get right and to do everything you have to in the preseason. Okay, so I already think, like I think the Browns have a chance to get at Dak a lot, and I think because of the offensive line, I think that's going to give Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence and that front seven of Dallas to get after the Browns a little bit. And so I do expect this to be a defensive matchup, and I hope I'm wrong about the Browns side of things. But it's, guys, it has nothing to do with Deshaun. Okay, it doesn't have everything to do with Deshaun. Because every time I turn around, it's Deshaun, 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 Deshaun. We're going to ask every guest today. So do you think that the Browns' fortunes rest solely on Deshaun Watson? Because it's the number one take. Well, you know, I like this Browns roster, but this Deshaun Watson guy. I'll be honest with you, early in the season, guys, I think Deshaun and the offense's success is going to be predicated on what do you get up front. And so I am hopeful that we get to see Jack Conklin at left tackle. And if it's not Jack Conklin, it's going to be James Hudson. I'm less hopeful to see him. I guess if we're ranking the left tackle here, not to steal a bit from the morning show, I would go Jack Conklin at left tackle. I would go Jed Wills at left tackle and then James Hudson, mostly because I think James is a guard. I think next year he's going to have every opportunity, if he wants to slide inside if there's an opening at guard. I digress. But when it comes to Sunday, I need Jack Conklin out there, and I need him at left tackle. And I'll be honest with you. I do think it's fair to say, because DeJuan Jones was rushed into the starting lineup last year, and because he was a fourth rounder, and because he has, you know, issues getting in shape at Ohio State, and certainly didn't come into camp in his rookie season in the best of shape, I totally understand if your response is, hey, yes, we you maybe get a player you trust more at the left side, but do you open up a bigger question on the right side? That's fair. Except, and my rebuttal will be, except my problem with Jed is not the level of his performance, it's consistency and it's desire. I've never watched DeJuan Jones and wondered on the field during a game, because again, I'm not there at practice every day. I've never wondered, does this guy love football? I've never wondered, can I trust this guy to follow through on a play? Because I've seen him pass the test against guys that I've seen Jed Wills fail the test against. I saw Nick Bosa go one-on-one hand fighting with DeJuan Jones last year, and I saw DeJuan Jones win. I saw DeJuan Jones in his rookie matchup go up against TJ Watt in Alex Highsmith and have more success more consistently than his counterpart did on the left side. But this isn't just about Jed Wills. It's about the offensive line in general. Because I do think Dallas's defense has enough elite-level players. I think they got like three guys. And one of them isn't going to be on the field. Actually, and they throw in DeMarcus Lawrence. He's a good player too. Players that if the Browns' offensive line is hurting because Andy Dickerson isn't Bill Callahan, we're going to know it on Sunday. If they're hurting because you're not healthy enough on either side, or if DeWitt still isn't coming off the knee injury, or if Jack Conklin is just booty cheeks at left tackle, or if James Hudson is just booty cheeks anywhere, like, I think that should be the expectation going in, that you're going to have to overcome the offensive line play. But I still will go back to, I trust the idea week one against this defense with Jack and DeJuan more so than I do Jed and Jack. Where's your confidence in the O-line? Because if we rated like possession, like or the different parts of this offense, right now my confidence is lowest on the O-line. We're reacting to the offensive line. And it's so funny, guys, if I knew the if it's Callahan's here, if Bill Callahan's still here and I know the tackles are healthy, I'm probably a lot more bullish on the offense early in the season. It's just when you start to say new offensive system, quarterback coming off an injury, no Nick Chubb, you are working in a new wide receiver in Jerry Jeudy, and now your tackles have been super hurt. That's just a lot up in the air on one side of the ball, when traditionally this time of year the offense is already behind the eight ball and where the offense is already trying to play catch up. And I made mention of the DeJuan Jones thing. The reality is I just feel like DeJuan Jones has a chance to be your starting right tackle for the next 8 or 9 years. Now, he's a big dude, so that's a big ask anytime we're talking about a guy that's maybe 375. But I saw enough last year, and I really, like, I focused in specifically on DeJuan as much as I could because of that ebb and flow of he had a first-round talent, but he was a fourth-rounder for a reason. So I watched enough of that dude to think that he has a chance to be the best right tackle or the best tackle in this division. That again, small sample size, he is coming off an injury. But, like, to me, he is still a guy that got forced into action last year. He is still a guy that I think weight is always going to be an issue when we talk about him. And now he's coming off this knee injury. And so, although I feel better about DeJuan on the right side and Conklin on the left, I have no frame of reference for what that offensive line is going to look like. Oh, and by the way, they're kind of switching concepts now, and you're going to see them work in some new run fits that kind of fit more of this new offense. That's a lot of new. But I think I know where everyone's going to go on this, but Keith asked a different question, but it led me here as we get you ready for this game on Sunday, which is, what would hype you up more? Keith is what would concern you more. I just decided to put a positive spin on it. What would hype you up more? The offense looking good on Sunday or the defense looking good? Because I think any time Deshaun looks good, if you start to stack those things, I freely understand that everyone and their mother are going to breathe a gigantic sigh of relief. I got to say, for me, it's the defense. I think this is a really interesting game for the defense, simply because this is your best crack at a franchise quarterback, probably than you had most of last year. right? Like you were. I don't want to say lucky because you can't factor in injuries for other teams as luck, but you missed a lot of the ridiculous quarterback matchups you could have had last year. Aaron Rodgers wasn't healthy, right? Joe Burrow at the end of the season. That was Jake Browning on the field, even though you started Jeff Driscoll. What was a brilliant move. I think you should definitely do that more. If you look at it last year, you got the good breaks that happen and can happen on your schedule with when quarterbacks got injured. Yes, you did face a franchise quarterback tour last year, but I think it's pivotal that this defense proves right out of the gate that last year wasn't a fluke. And that last year wasn't about who you played. I think it's a little convenient to, on one hand, say, well, the defense was only elite because they played non-elite quarterbacks. And then at the same point, say anything you say in defense of Deshaun Watson's play last year is somehow an excuse for Deshaun or an excuse for the Browns. Like, I think, and this is, we'll get into like the negativity stuff and the hope-ometer that The Athletic put out there. But I do think we've reached this weird point where we kind of bend logic on either side of the argument just because how we're feeling about the Browns on that day. I think the Browns defense was legit last year. I think there were some bumps in the road. I do think that when you rely this much on rotational players, which the Browns do a lot, like specifically if you want to get to the defensive line. I know there are a lot of defenses that rotate defensive linemen in there. They still have guys who are starter caliber players. I don't know if anybody other than Dalvin Tomlinson is a starter caliber player. And this is an I don't know. It's not a definitive thing. Even off the edge, like, is Za'Darius more of a role player at this time in his career, or is Za'Darius still a guy who should be out there if you played your starters for, you know, three downs at a time instead of platooning a lot of that rotation? Is that still what Za'Darius could do? The answer is I don't know. And I think there was a lot of good last year. I think having Rodney McLeod back as kind of the cornerback of this defense, I actually think is huge. I also think having Hicks in there for the first time, which we've not talked a lot about. I know Anthony Walker Jr. was kind of an average middle linebacker. I think Hicks is a better middle linebacker, but that's a different guy conveying the message. I think those are two big things to watch in this game. But if you told me tomorrow that your defense was the reason you won on Sunday, guys, I think that's what I'm expecting. I kind of don't want to be surprised on this. Listen, if your offense and your defense, if you just go out there and just blow the doors off Dallas and you score 34 points and you only give up 13 points, cool. But I think this thing, to be what we hope it is, which is a championship caliber team, I think the defense has to be elite from the jump. And granted, if you can put up 30 points against Micah Parsons in week one, I understand that people are going to go, well, all right, if you can do that against Micah Parsons and Trevon Diggs, you can do that against anybody. And that's probably true when you're early schedule. The truth is, every time you face a elite defense with Deshaun, that's going to be a real question. It's going to take Deshaun and this offense 18 weeks to prove that they are who we hope they are. So just them having a good week against Dallas, that's square one, right? Like, our opinions of the offense start on Sunday. Our opinions of the defense, guys, we should see that next step from this defense. And to me, that next step is pretty easily identifiable what it is, by the way. But that's what Sunday is. Sunday isn't game one of us judging this defense. No, that was last year. So you had your consistency issues. You had your road woes. You had your injury problems. Well, now you look as healthy as you're probably going to be all season long, even with Greg Newsom, who's going to join us at 5:20 today, even with Dalvin, some of these guys coming off injury. I don't want necessarily to see a defense that is work in progress week one. I want to see a defense, and I think we will. I want to see a defense who's ready to meet the challenge of playing against an offense that has a what I think is an elite quarterback in Dak and an elite playmaker in CeeDee Lamb. Beyond that, guys, ain't exactly a murderer's row. Their second best option is probably Jake Ferguson. They have tried to find that complementary weapon to CeeDee Lamb ever since Amari Cooper left and Michael Gallup fell by the wayside. They haven't done it. So Jake Ferguson's a nice tight end. I don't know if Jake Ferguson's a great tight end or whether he just gets a lot of yards because somebody else has to get the ball. That offensive line, I mean, we've talked about our offensive line woes. Guys, that offensive line is pretty banged up too. And they're going to be starting rookies up against guys like Myles Garrett and backups in key spots. So if you struggle, if your offense struggles against Dallas's defense, do you know what we can say? Well, Micah Parsons. Like, Micah Parsons makes elite offensives stammer because he is a singular talent. He is their answer to Myles Garrett. So I'm not, and I want to be very clear, I'm not trying to make this a negative statement. But I look at this, offense is always behind. You've got a lot of new there. And you are going up against one of the three best defensive players in the NFL. So it shouldn't come as a surprise if the offense looks like a work in progress, especially minus Nick Chubb, especially not knowing what the offensive line's going to give you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Defensively? I mean, I'm not saying it's easy. Dak is a great quarterback. CeeDee Lamb is great. This feels like a much more easy sell that the defense can come out, chase Dak around, bring him down enough, and that brings the bar down for Dallas's offense enough that basically you don't have to do as much on offense. To me, Sunday is about, can the defense confirm my suspicions that they are great? Because I think that's the easiest bar to clear. We want to talk about the work in progress offense. You want to talk about 13 wins or 10 wins or 8 wins. A lot of that comes with time. I don't want to say there's nothing. Everything that the offense does, even if they have a banner day, 500 yards, even if Deshaun has a 300-yard performance, okay, cool. Now do it 16 more times. With the defense, it's going to feel like that bridge, that extension, and it's simple. Be consistent and continue that home domination that you did last year, and then week two will become the, all right, now you get a chance at a quarterback that a lot of people think is pretty good, with a team that had been a playoff team 2 years ago that would have been one if they didn't collapse last year, and it's going to be on the road. But week one, I think this is set up more for the defense, and I think we should take, if this goes the way that I think it is, the offense looks okay, fine, whatever you want to call it, and the defense looks great, I think that's just about as good as you can get out of week one with every single question we have about the Cleveland Browns. We got to welcome on a very special guest ahead of Cleveland and Dallas in Cleveland this Sunday. It's a kickoff in the 4 o'clock hour, and I'm an old man, and I don't like it. But I do like primetime games in Cleveland. And to talk about this primetime game, David Hellman, recently engaged, also host on NFL on Fox podcast, part of the NFL and Cowboys coverage for Fox Sports, now joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. David, welcome to the show.
I'm doing great. I was just saying it's a big week personally and professionally. Felt like week one was never going to get here, but man, I'm ready to roll.
All right, so I'm a married man. My partner's a married man. Yes. So we've been through this dance. Were you 100% certain that she was going to say yes? Or was there even like a 1 to 25% chance of doubt there, buddy?
No, no, there was no doubt. You know, we're good communicators. We both work in media. So we had plenty of good conversations about it. My only real concern was flubbing my lines or dropping the ring or something stupid like that. But I was pretty confident she was going to say yeah. And actually, week one of football season it's been a milestone in our relationship. It's when we started dating. So I think she even knew it was probably going to happen around week one. So not too much in the way of surprises.
I think that's good. Like, when you know, but I feel like the only way to really screw it up is if you do like the wrong setting. Like, you see these people who like propose like football games or basketball games, and the girl's just like, no, not doing it. Like, that's the biggest thing you don't want to mess up. But as long as you got everything else right, you're good.
That's the beach is undefeated for engagement.
That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Which,
I mean, the big concern, obviously, you know, the beach is a beautiful setting, but, you know, a lot of people go to the beach. So I was a little bit paranoid about there being a crowd, but we got it sorted out. I think there were one or two passersby that wished us congratulations, but it was all good.
I'm just glad there wasn't one or two passersby that was like, don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I got engaged in my wife's family's house, and I was pretty sure I was going to get at least one of those walking by the hall there. And they would have been right. David, looking to this game on Sunday. We've talked, there's been a thought in town that because it's the Cowboys, it's, you know, Tom Brady's first game. It's a national kick that, you know, that this maybe somehow feels bigger. What do you think about the hype around this game going into week one?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I don't think you can call it the biggest game of the weekend just because you got, you know, the two MVPs playing tomorrow night and Packers Eagles is another huge one. But I think it's certainly in that top handful of most intriguing games. I mean, obviously, the Cowboys are the Cowboys. They've got all this uncertainty with Dak Prescott. They've got a team full of all pros. But I've been saying all offseason, I mean, it's so interesting what's going on in Cleveland, because I think the Browns have every reason to see themselves as a Super Bowl contender as long as their very expensive quarterback plays like his price tag suggests that he should. And I just think that's such a crazy variable. You know, if Deshaun Watson somehow manages to rediscover what made him a valuable trade commodity, this could be one of the very best teams in the NFL. And if he doesn't do that, then it's probably going to be a very frustrating season in Cleveland. So finally sort of unwrapping the packaging on that present and seeing exactly what the Browns are, I think it makes them one of the most interesting teams in the league right now.
David, along those lines of just kind of the expectations for this team, and we've talked a lot about those here, the Browns haven't won the division in 25 years now. 1989 was the last time. How much of a chance do you give them realistically in this very good AFC North and a very good AFC to boot to come away as division champions for the first time in going on three decades or four decades?
I mean, I think it's important. I mean, don't fall too hard for the preseason narratives, right? I mean, sitting here before we've played a game, I would say it seems like an uphill battle just because this is the toughest division in football. But let's not forget, I mean, the fourth place team in this division had a winning record last year. So, you know, it's four very quality teams. You never know what role injury is going to play either, by the way. I mean, that's a bummer to think about, but it's absolutely true. And then, like I said, I mean, if I was putting money on it here today, do I think Deshaun Watson is going to play like the guy we remember from Houston? I personally think not, but I'm not willing to rule that out until I've seen a few games of Browns football. And if he does, with the defense and the other talent that's there on offense, like, I really do think this team has a crazy high ceiling if he plays that way. So, you know, I see the Browns as the third best team in this division, but do I think it's crazy that they could be the first? No, I don't think it's crazy at all.
David Hellman on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline ahead of Browns Cowboys on Sunday here in Cleveland. And even for Dallas, even for Jerry Jones standards, let's be honest, this has been an especially dramatic offseason between Dak's press conference, Jerry Jones's press conference about Dak Prescott's contract, then Dak talking about it, CeeDee Lamb's contract. I'm just curious, Have we gotten to a point where there actually might be some sort of hangover because of the drama in Dallas all offseason long?
I think so. I think it's a very real possibility. But I do think that's an area where Mike McCarthy deserves a lot of credit. And, you know, I've covered this team for a long time. And if you take it back to the Jason Garrett era, and even some of the coaches before Jason, like Wade Phillips, the Cowboys were such a roller coaster of a team because inevitably they would have a good season and they would have an off season like this, and the hangover would be evident, and they would either be mediocre or outright bad. And, you know, Jason Garrett, for every good season he had, you could count on them to never follow it up. I mean, the Cowboys went 15 or so years without consecutive playoff seasons. And that is, I'm not trying to sell anybody that Mike McCarthy is the best coach in the league, but he has brought a level of stability that the Cowboys just haven't had. I mean, they've made the playoffs in three straight years. It's the first time they've done that since they were winning Super Bowls. They've got a chance to do it four straight times. Clearly, that's not the standard in Dallas. That's not going to satisfy anybody. But it is something that's been lacking. And so I think I trust Mike McCarthy's program. I trust the type of pro that Dak Prescott is, to where these guys are good enough and professional enough that they can overcome it. But yeah, at some point, especially, you know, people that have followed this team for a long time, you sit around and you're like, man, what if it were just easy for a change? Like, what if you tried your best to stay out of the headlines for an offseason instead of seeking them out? I do think it would make a difference. But as long as Jerry Jones is running things, that's just not going to be the case.
David, I want to go back to Deshaun for a second, because as if we haven't exhausted that topic enough already in this town. But I'm curious, because we've been doing now for the last 3 years. You know, like year one, he had the suspension, and it was, well, if they're in a certain spot and he comes back and plays like the guy he should, man, this Browns team could make the playoffs and make a run. And then that didn't happen. And then last year it was, well, if that guy's still in there, like, yeah, the sky's the limit for this team. And then we started to see some semblance of him being good again, and he just kept getting hurt, and then he has the season-ending injury, and we never really got to see it in like a full scale of it. And so this year, we're now doing the same thing, where we're going into a season, and we're like, hey, if he gets back to being that quarterback, the Browns really could be something special. Is this the last chance you think Deshaun has to convince anybody that that quarterback is still in there, or are we going to be doing this again next year?
I'm sure some people will be doing it again. I mean, hope springs eternal in the NFL, for sure. And you know, with what the Browns have committed to Deshaun, they don't really have a choice, you know? Yeah. I mean, you gotta look for optimism where you can when you're tied to a guy like that. But I will say, for me, this feels like the last chance, because you laid it out perfectly. I mean, last year he was starting to round into form. He was starting to look like a quarterback that could win you some ball games, and then injuries set in. And so, you know, it's two very unique circumstances. But now he's either going to struggle because he's not good enough, or if he gets hurt again, then that's 2 years out of, what, five, that you've lost this very expensive asset to injury. And even if it's not completely fair, nobody cares about fair when you're giving up multiple first-round picks and guaranteeing $230 million. So if it doesn't happen this year, then what? We've sunk three years of the five-year contract into nothing. And at that point, even in some world where Deshaun Watson rediscovers his form next year, you're sitting there saying, okay, cool, but it took us 4 years to get to this point. This is definitely not what we imagined when we gave up everything that we did. So, like I said, I think some people are always going to look for optimism, but for me, and I think for the general NFL public, this feels like the last opportunity.
David, why haven't the Cowboys broken through in the playoffs over the last 3 years?
Man, if I had the answer to that, I could have a way better job. I think there's so many reasons for it. For starters, again, I think the fatigue is a very real thing. The hype and the expectations that go along with being part of the Cowboys, and the fact that the ownership and management of the Cowboys seems to encourage that. I think you do have to put some on the players. I mean, if you followed my work, I'm as big of a Dak Prescott defender as there is. I think the guy's a really, really good quarterback. But there's no denying that he shrank in the spotlight of the playoffs last year. I mean, he played one of the worst games of his career against the Green Bay Packers. So a little bit of that. I think you could also argue the visibility of the Cowboys inflates the talent level on their team. Like, yes, they are a very good team, but do people maybe get caught up in the star on the helmet and the visibility and the fact that they're always on national TV, and maybe they're not as deep or as overall well-rounded as people think they are? I think that's valid. So I think there's half a dozen reasons. And what I told myself when they hired McCarthy is they need that consistency. They need to be there every single year, because that was the problem for so long, is they'd only go every 2 or 3 years, and then if they fell short, they'd have to wait. But now it's been a consistent 3 years in a row, and they still haven't broken through. And it's at the point now where I really don't know the answer. I'm not a superstitious person, but when you look around and you see that even teams like the Detroit Lions and to some degree even the Cleveland Browns have had breakthroughs, you're just like, man, maybe they really are cursed, because otherwise I don't have a good answer for it.
David, really great stuff today. Congrats again to both you and your fiance, man. All the best wishes. And I would say, I was going to say, like, hope we get a good one. No, I hope the Browns kick the crap out of the Cowboys. I hope it's a one-sided game so I can relax on Sunday, I'll be honest.
Hey, if the Browns kick the crap out of the Cowboys, it'll be an amazing storyline in its own right, because I think that would be a very big announcement on their part of what they're capable of. So either way, I think it'll be a really interesting game. But, yeah, I appreciate it, y'all.
Thank you so much, David. David Hellman there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.